Thank you. All right, thank you. You may be seated. Have a seat there. And take your Bibles, if you will, and turn them to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter number 5. And let me say as you're turning how thankful I am to be able to speak to you tonight. I count it an honor and a privilege and opportunity. I'm very humbled by this chance to preach to you tonight. I don't take it lightly. And I pray that you won't take this service lightly. I know it's fun to come out to student revival. I know it's fun to spend some time with your friends. I know it's fun to hear students preach. But I challenge you tonight to open your heart and let God speak to you, because I believe, as Pastor Chappell said, that if we'll open our hearts and we'll give God's word a chance to work, that he'll speak to us. So open your heart tonight and see what God would have for you to get. All right, let's look at Mark chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verse 24. We're going to continue down through verse 29. The Bible says, beginning in verse 24, "And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." The title of my message tonight is Hungry for Healing. Hungry for Healing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for the students that have come to hear from you tonight, Father. God, I pray that you'll help us to open our hearts and to let you speak to us, God. I pray that you'll just fill me with your spirit. Help me to say exactly what you would have me to say, God. And I pray that you'll help all that's done tonight to honor and glorify you. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Last February, I had the privilege and opportunity of taking a medical missions trip to the country of Haiti. Now, I had never been on a missions trip before, so I was pretty excited. I didn't really know what to expect. I didn't realize all the planning and preparation it took to put on a missions trip, let alone a medical missions trip. We probably spent from about October or September to February just preparing for this thing. And we got so much medicine. We probably spent thousands of dollars on medical supplies just to take down to the Haitian people. I think we had 20 suitcases stuffed full of bandages, of pills, of vaccinations, of creams, just medicines to help these people. And I can remember getting there in Haiti and just being overwhelmed by the condition there. But I can remember that first day, and I'll never forget it, when we walked into a village lugging all those suitcases, you know, all those really heavy suitcases and the super hot heat and everything. So it was work to get there, but we got there and we set up the clinic. We set up our pharmacy in this little tent, this little tarp. And then we opened it to the public. We opened it to the villagers. And I'll never forget the swarm of people that came in. The swarm of people, the swarm of Haitians that came in looking for healing. The people that were sick that needed a cure. The people that were ill that needed relief from their pain. They came in looking for healing. They came in hungry for healing. And you know, I ask you tonight, are you like those people? Are you hungry for healing? Are you hungry for revival? Because when I look at America, I see that America is sick. I see that America needs healing. And that's what we're talking about tonight, the healing of revival. And I believe that if America is going to get healed, if America is going to turn back to God, it's going to be through revival. And I believe that if revival is going to happen, it's going to start with the students of West Coast Baptist College. I don't know about you, but that's what I believe. I believe that, like Pastor Chappell said, if revival is going to happen, it's going to happen in our generation, and it's going to start here. But it's not going to start with us. It's not going to happen with us unless we're hungry for it, unless we're really seeking revival. In Mark chapter 5, we see a woman that was hungry for healing. We see a woman that did whatever it took to get healing. And I want to look at the things that she did to get healing, because I believe they're the same things that we must do in order to get revival. So let's look at them. Number one, the first thing this woman had to do was she had to recognize the problem. She had to recognize the problem. Look at verse 25 in our text. The Bible says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." Now, this passage doesn't tell us much about this woman. It doesn't give us her background. It doesn't tell us what she looked like or what kind of people group she was from. But it tells us that she had a disease. She had a sickness. And because she had a sickness, because she had a disease, she needed healing. But she wasn't going to get healing until she first recognized the fact that she was sick. You see, you can't get healed of a sickness until you recognize that you're sick. This woman had to realize that. She had to come to the knowledge that she had a problem and that she needed healing. I first see that she had a diagnosis that was ominous. I can imagine that she probably went to the doctor because she noticed that something was wrong. So she went to the doctor, and the doctor probably told her, you know, it's not a cold that you have. It's not the flu that you have, but you have a disease. And you know what? Nobody likes hearing that they're sick. Nobody likes waking up in the morning and feeling that sore throat. That seems to be the first thing that that comes when you get sick. Then you maybe get out of bed and you see in the mirror that the color's drained from your face. Maybe you have a fever. And nobody likes realizing that they're sick, unless you get to stay home from school and drink a lot of ginger ale, then maybe. But nobody really likes recognizing they're sick. I can imagine, I can't imagine what Dr. Weaver or Brother Chapel must have went through when they heard the doctor say, you have cancer. I can't imagine that. It's an ominous diagnosis. It's a scary diagnosis. But I also see that she had an obvious disease. You see, she had a disease, and once she realized that, once she realized what the diagnosis was, the disease became obvious. She began to recognize the symptoms. She began to recognize, oh man, I do feel sick. She began to see the obvious disease. But you know, the Bible places on our generation an ominous diagnosis. Look what the Bible says, or listen to what the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. Says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of the moments of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. I don't know about you, but that seems to describe this generation pretty well. We hear preachers say that we're in the last days, and you know what? I believe we are based on this verse because it's all around us. The sickness, the disease is all around us, and if you really open your eyes, you'll realize that the disease is obvious. If you turn on the news or you'll look in the newspaper, you can begin to see all the sickness, all the filth, all the wickedness that's taken place in our generation today, and you can realize that, hey, we have a problem. You can see it. It's obvious. It's obvious that we have a disease. But do we really recognize it? Do we really recognize the fact that we need revival? Do we really recognize the fact that we need healing? I pray that we will. This woman recognized that she had a problem, and so must we. We must recognize the problem. Secondly, the second thing this woman had to do was, number two, she had to remain through the pain. Look what it says in verse 26 of our text. And it suffered many things of many physicians, and it spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. This woman, for 12 years, suffered from this disease. Now, I don't know what you think about when you think about suffering, but I think of intense pain. You see, this woman experienced the pain of failed hopes. She realized that she was sick. She realized that she needed healing. So she went to the people that she thought would be able to help her. She went to doctor after doctor, but none of them were able to help her. Her disease didn't get better, it just got worse. She had to suffer those pains. She placed hope in these doctors, but they failed her. And you know what? That's painful. Maybe you're placing hope in something tonight. Maybe you're placing hope in a relationship or entertainment. Maybe you're thinking that's going to heal the pain. Maybe you think that that's going to help you out, but it's just going to fail you. Nobody can help you except Jesus. Nobody's going to bring us revival except Jesus. But you know, it's painful when we have to suffer the failed hopes. Not only the failed hopes, but the pain of maybe the Father's chisel. You know, God was preparing her to meet Jesus Christ. God was preparing her for 12 years to one day meet the great physician. But it took 12 years of suffering to get there. I believe that God was preparing her for each one of those 12 years. He was chiseling away at her, preparing her to meet Jesus. And you know what? Maybe you're suffering a little bit tonight, but I believe that it could be God just chiseling away at you. You know, before God can give us revival, he might have to get rid of some sin in our lives. He might have to chisel that off. Before God can give you revival, he might have to chisel off a relationship you're in. Before God can give you revival, he might have to chisel off those things that are blocking your relationship with God. He might have to use his chisel. You know, sometimes before God can heal us, he's got to hurt us. Look what it says in Isaiah 1:25, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away all of thy dross and take away all of thy tin. Being purged by God, being chiseled by God, it's not fun. It's painful. But God only chastens those that he loves. He's preparing you for something, so just remain through the pain. There's a great illustration of this in the fifth book of the Chronicles of Narnia. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I was a big fan of the Chronicles of Narnia. I remember when I was like 12 and 13, my dad would bring me, my brother, and my sister into his bedroom, and he would read us a chapter from the Chronicles of Narnia every night. And one of my favorite books was number 5, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And in this book, we meet a boy named Eustace. He's a British boy, and he's snobby. He's stuck on himself. He's arrogant. Not that all British boys are that way, by the way. But this one was. And he just had a bad attitude. And in the book, he comes to a place where he's talking to Aslan. Aslan is the great lion in this book. And he's talking to Aslan because he got turned into a dragon. Now, you know, it's the Chronicles of Narnia. Somebody's got to get turned into a dragon. But Eustace did. All right, he was the one in the book who got turned into a dragon. He's talking to Aslan. And he realizes the error of his ways. He's ready to change, but he wants to be a boy again. He wants healing. So he comes to Aslan and says, Aslan, what do I have to do to be healed? Aslan looks at him and he says, you got to take the skin off. So Eustace began scratching himself, began peeling the skin off. Like a snake would shed his skin, he began to shed the dragon's scales. So he gets the first layer off, but nothing happens. Nothing's different. Nothing changes. So he does it again. He starts scratching himself even harder. He starts ripping that skin off, but another layer comes off and nothing happens. He does this over and over, but he's still a dragon. He looks at Aslan with tears in his eyes. He says, Aslan, why isn't this working? I thought it would work. He placed hope in that and it failed him. Aslan looked at him and he said, you have to let me do it. So Aslan takes his big lion paws and he gets his claws out. And he sinks it deep into Eustace's dragon's flesh. It begins ripping away the skin. He begins tearing away the scales. And all the time, Eustace is just screaming out in pain. He's suffering. He can't take it any longer. But he remained through it. And when Aslan was done, he was healed. He was returned back to a human being. Sometimes before God can heal us, he must hurt us. But don't give up. Remain through the pain because you'll be better on the other side. Number 3, not only do we have to realize and recognize the problem, not only do we have to remain through the pain, but we have to run to the physician. Verses 27 and 28 of our text says, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. You know, this woman, she had to suffer a little bit. She had to go through some pain, but there came a point 12 years later when Jesus came to town. She heard that Jesus was in her area. And the Bible says that immediately she went there. You know, when she heard that Jesus was coming, she didn't just sit in her house and say, oh, cool, maybe Jesus will come to me and heal me. No, she heard of all the great things Jesus did. She heard of all his miracles. She heard of all his wonders. She knew that he could heal her. She probably said, this is what I've been waiting for. I know that he can heal my sickness. I know that he can take care of my disease. So you know what? She ran to him. She got there immediately. She knew that he would be able to help her, so she immediately ran to him. She turned from the answers of man. She left those physicians and she ran to the great physician. She took action. She went there with haste. She went there as fast as she could. And the Bible says that not only did she get there to the crowd, but she also began pushing through the crowd. The Bible says that she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And in order to do that, I believe that she would have had to have been down on her hands and knees, just crawling through the crowd, trying to get to Jesus. She didn't care what people thought about her. She didn't care that she was in a very humiliating, she looked probably ridiculous doing that. She didn't care because she was serious about getting healed. I wonder tonight, are you serious about having revival? We say that we want to see revival in Los Angeles. We say that we want to have personal revival, but are you serious about it? If so, then run to Jesus. Get to the physician. All these other things that we're trying to do is not going to give us revival. Only Jesus can give us revival. So why don't we just run to him? Why don't we just run to the great physician? Don't wait. Don't wait in your dorm room. Don't wait for Jesus to come to you. You go to him. Jesus can't shove revival down our throats. We have to be going out and seeking for it and getting it. Not only did she have to run to the physician, number 4 and lastly tonight, she had to reach with purpose. She had to reach with a purpose. Let's read again verses 27 through 29. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Not only did she press through the crowd, not only did she get on her hands and knees to touch his garment, but she reached out to touch Jesus. No, she didn't touch his skin. She was just reaching out to touch his clothes. That's the kind of faith that she had. You know, some people might say, man, if I can touch Jesus' hair maybe. Maybe if I can touch Jesus' skin, that'll give me healing. This woman believed that Jesus' garment could heal her. She had great faith, and I wonder, how's your faith tonight? Do you really believe that God can give us revival? This woman believed it. She reached out with the purpose of retiring a sickness. And you know what? Her plague was healed and her faith was rewarded. Look what it says in verse 30 through 31. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Verse 32, and he looked round about to see her that had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. He rewarded her faith. He rewarded her reach. He rewarded her belief. He gave her healing. Not just physical healing, but also spiritual healing. She was made whole inside and out. I wonder tonight if you're reaching for revival, if you're hungry for revival. You know, I think it's interesting, and I always wondered, why was it that this woman was the only one that got healed? I mean, the Bible says that a multitude was thronging Jesus. There were hundreds of other people there that were probably touching Jesus, trying to get healing, but this woman was the only one that got healed. It was her touch that drew virtue out of Jesus. And I would ask, why was it? Why was it her touch that was the one that made the difference in her life? And I believe it's because she reached out, not only believing that God would heal her, but expecting God to heal her. She had such faith that she expected to be healed. She expected to be healed when she reached out and touched Jesus. And I wonder tonight, are you reaching out to touch Jesus? You know, I think you might be. Maybe you're saying that, you know what, I want revival in my life. You know, I want to see revival in Los Angeles. I want to see revival on this campus. I want to see revival in America. I'm praying for that God will give us revival. But you know what? A lot of people touched Jesus that day, but only one got healed. A lot of people are asking for revival, but how many of us actually have revival in our own lives? How many of us are actually reaching with the purpose of getting and obtaining revival? When I think of somebody who reaches, I think of somebody who gives it all they have. I think of somebody who stretches to their limit. This woman stretched. This woman gave everything she had to get healing, and God gave her healing. I wonder tonight, maybe if we'll reach out with everything we have, if we'll stretch out with everything we have, if we give it our all to get revival, I believe that God will give it to us. Amen. In conclusion, I just want to leave you with one thought. Think of a person who's sick. Think of a patient. When they realize that they're sick, they might have to remain through some pain. And then they go to the doctor, right? That's the right thing to do. You say, man, I think something's wrong, so I'm going to go to the doctor. I'm going to figure out what's wrong. And the doctor might meet up with you and say, you know, we've run the tests and we've done the x-rays and we believe that this is wrong with you. And you have this disease, you have this problem. And he's going to administer to you some medicine. And he's going to say, now this medicine's going to help you. This medicine's going to, it can heal you. Just take it, you know, twice a day for 4 weeks and then come back and we'll see how you're doing. And then the doctor calls in the medicine to the pharmacy, and the patient's got to go to the pharmacist and reach across the counter in order to obtain that medicine, in order to obtain that healing. You know, the patient's not just going to sit back in his house and say, oh, you know, the pharmacist will come to me. No, he goes to the pharmacy because he's serious about getting healed. And he reaches across the counter because he believes that that medicine's going to be able to heal him. Tonight, I believe that God is in this room, and he has revival in his hands. And he wants to give it to each and every one of us. But all he needs us to do is to come and take it. I believe that God might even be standing over this altar tonight, just holding revival in his hands, waiting for somebody to come to him, waiting for somebody to reach out and take it, because he's ready to give it to us. He wants to give us revival. He wants to see revival in America. He wants to see revival in this generation. He wants to see revival in your life. All he's waiting for you to do is come and get it. So I ask you tonight, are you hungry for revival? Are you serious about getting revival? Then come and get it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this night. I thank you for just this opportunity once again, Father. I pray that you'll please bless the rest of the service, God. Help us to honor and glorify you and help our hearts to remain open and to hear what you have for us to hear, God. We love you and we thank you for this night. In your name, amen.